And how you doing, sir? This is Derek Dunn with Reviews Undone. Thank you for taking the time to reschedule to speak with me.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing today, brother?
Man, I am well. If there's a lot of background noise in the background, I'm at my son's baseball game, so just bear with me. If you hear
no problem at all, sir.
Cheering and all of that stuff.
Oh, yeah, no problem at all. You know, I'm at your mercy, and I'm on your time, brother. So I just have about 12 questions.
Okay.
Give or take a few really quick. Okay. So the first one is, you've been in the music industry for 23 years now as a member of 112 and more recently as a solo artist. What was the inspiration behind the Bridge Project?
Oh, my God. The Bridge Project, in 2012, I went through just, you know, a really, really tough time. And I didn't think that I had anybody to talk to. I didn't really trust anybody, any men in my life that I could be vulnerable enough with to just really talk about, you know, one of my lowest moments. And it was at that time that I realized, like, you know what, I'm not going to allow any other man, if I can help it, to feel like he's on an island by himself. And because of that, I created Brothers United of Atlanta, which is a safe space for men to come to congregate and to talk about, to educate, empower, motivate, and just love on each other. It's group therapy. And so we meet once a month, and from there I took it from inside the room to making it something that was audible, which is what inspired the album.
Nice, nice. And that's the album where you have, you're basically mixing up R&B and gospel together, correct?
Absolutely. So, you know, I grew up, I'm a church boy. I grew up Church of God in Christ. And, you know, getting an R&B record deal, it just kind of, it just threw my whole world off balance. Because all I grew up knowing was, you know, you're going to use your gift to sing for the Lord. And what I realized was so many of my peers had similar stories, where they too started in the church but got, you know, R&B record deals. And as a professional, that was what their career was. And so, man, as we continue to push this movement of brotherhood and unity, I say, you know what, I'm going to pull from guys who sing two different genres to show the ultimate blending, that when men come together, it don't matter what genre you sing, it don't matter how much money you have or any of that. None of that matters. When men come together, that's when the magic happens. And so that was why the Bridge Project came about.
Okay, I had a chance to check out your recently released single, Made For, and I feel like it's another hit myself.
Man,
what was the experience working with Dietrich Haddon, Avery Wilson, and Eric Dawkins like?
Mm-hmm. So the last part?
What was the experience like working with Dietrich Haddon, Avery Wilson, and Eric Dawkins?
So the interesting thing is, you know, I have an amazing group of friends, and, you know, my relationships are, that's my currency. That's my currency. And so, you know, I already have relationships with all three of those guys. And so the beauty of this whole thing was being able to call my friends and say, hey, I'm working on this project, and I want you to be a part of it. And I want you to sing one of the records. And, you know, they answered the call with no hesitation and came through, and they helped deliver what, in my opinion, also is a masterpiece.
Yes, very, very, very nice. Very nice song, brother.
But then also, let me say this, too. No. It wasn't tough, but let me just say that, you know, whenever you're putting a project that has various artists, you know, it's tough, you know, to get one feature, let alone 55 guys to say yes to this movement. And so when you talk about the first single being called Made For, before we even start a movement, we have to define what the movement is about. And it was important for me to initiate this movement by defining what men were made for. What's the why to manhood? Why were we created? And so the song just truly defines and cements, you know, what we were made for.
I'm going to go off track for a second. I mean, I think for me, just knowing a little bit about your story and your testimony, what I got from the song myself was it's a ballad, but it's also a testimony trying to tell men, you know, this is what we're made for. You know, we're made to lead our house. We're made to be the head of the household. We're made to support our rib. We're made to support our children. We're made to support our fellow brothers. So yeah, I mean, that's what I got for it. Cause it's not overly preachy in my opinion. And it kind of reminded me, it had a, early DeBarge and Switch Tech feel to it, to where it's R&B, but you can still sing it in the church. So, and you know, get that good old feeling inside the spirit, you know, without going too far left,
too far
in the secular department.
Well, you know, the mission of the Bridge Project is to define, redefine, and cement the lifestyle standards and the culture code of manhood. And so, in doing that, it is defining. You know, what are we made for? We are made to, you know, be in constant pursuit of purpose, to be my brother's keeper, to be present in our children's lives, to be dedicated and committed in all relationships. So these are what the project is all about, just cementing our why as men.
Got it. I know that you've acted in plays in the past, and this coming summer you have a lead role in the film Rescue Me. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Wow. The song Rescue Me is, so let me say, the Bridge Project movement is such an important movement that we had to distribute it four different angles. We have the sonic body of work, which is the audible, the album. We have a documentary that we are filming. We took the sound, the music from the album, and it became the soundtrack to the feature film called Rescue Me. Rescue Me is a movie. It's a faith-based film that the story is about failure, fame, and faith. And we're in the pre-production stages right now, but this song, it features Todd Delaney, who's another good friend of mine, and it's just talking about how when we are our brother's keeper, when we are aware of every move we make, we have to understand that every move we make, somebody is watching. And so if you go through something and I'm watching, it prevents me. If I'm really aware, I should learn from the things that you've had to endure. And so in my personal story, me watching some of my mentors, they saved my life. And so in some cases, they rescued me.
Cool, yeah. Ty's you're working with Ty Watkins on that. Yeah, Ty's a real good
brother. Oh, my God. Ty Delaney is, he's one of my closest friends.
Yeah, and I'm also a part-time film critic, so yeah, I enjoy a good faith-based film. One of my first memories of your group 112 was when you guys toured as the opening act for New Edition during the second leg of the Ill-Fated Home Again tour back in 97.
Yes,
Can you tell me what was it like writing the song You Don't Have to Worry for the group?
Oh, my God. I mean, anytime you get to work with somebody that inspired you, it's always an amazing opportunity. It's one of the things in my career that I am so proud of. You know, the interesting thing about 112's career, every time we went on a major tour, we opened up or we were a part of a legends. Our very first tour, we toured with the Osley Brothers, and then New Edition, and then Whitney Houston, then Janet Jackson. We did the Puff Daddy and the Family tour. We did the reunion tour. And so when you talk about just how our career has rolled out, it's really one to be marveled at. And so to be able to, you know, be inspired by New Edition. New Edition paved the way for 112 to even be a group. And so to be able to not only open up for them, but then to come back years later, write a song for them, man, that's just wow.
Yeah, it's you guys, New Edition, and numerous others. I mean, the R&B group is like a big thing to me. It's something that's really missing in R&B right now. That's another conversation. Speaking of New Edition, their miniseries was a big. Speaking of New Edition, their miniseries was a huge success. Is there a chance that one day we'll see a 112 biopic? If not, is there any musical artist that you would like to play on the big screen?
Is there any musical artist that I would love to play?
Yeah, if they don't get the 112 story, you know, a 112 movie.
Oh my!
You guys have a story too.
I am an actor, man, and so I can embody any character. I can't say that there's anybody in particular that I'd like to play, but I can just tell you whatever it is, I'd be fully committed in. Because I'm fans of so many of the greats, it wouldn't be hard for me to tap into, you know, just what I know of them, but also I do the research to even find even more things about them that I could pull from.
Yeah, I can see you pulling off Curtis Mayfield.
Oh, yeah. I love Curtis Mayfield.
Yeah, because Curtis, you know, the vibe you have going on now is like what Curtis was about. Curtis was spiritual, but it was still, you know, good quality R&B without going too far left into the, you know, secular field, you know, which is fine. You know, I mean, I'm not judging anybody, but Curtis's stuff was, you could play Curtis's stuff, you know, with your parents, your grandparents.
Absolutely.
Everybody grew into the same mindset.
Yeah.
Right. One of the artists you worked with on the Bridge Project was Wingo from fellow ATL R&B group Jagged Edge. A few years back, there were talks of a supergroup you formed with RL and Wingo.
Yes, sir.
Called WQRL. Will your fans ever get a chance to hear that project?
Probably not. Well, let me just say this, man. Wingo is one of my best friends. A lot of people don't realize that before I joined 112, before he joined Jagged Edge, he and I was in a group together. Wingo and I have lived together, man. My mama is his mama. His mama is my mama. He is by far one of my closest friends since high school. I love that guy, man. I love that guy. Like, truly, like, I love that dude.
Yeah. I remember both you guys is unsung on TV1. You guys talk about how you guys, people be surprised that you two hung out so much, and it's like everyone always thought there was a 112 and Jagged Edge, and it really wasn't. That was just the media causing strife that wasn't really needed at all.
Right.
Are there any songs that you've written for other artists that the public would be surprised about?
No, not really, because to know Q Parker, you know that my palette is very vast. You know, I am huge fans of classical music. I was trained classic, operatic. I'm a lover of jazz music. I love country music. I don't know if there's anybody, you know, to know me, you know that I can dibble and dabble in multiple genres.
Are there any songs that your group turned down that became hits for other artists?
Absolutely. Interestingly, Drew Hill just did an episode of Unsung, and they were talking about, well, Cisco was talking about how he didn't like the song In My Bed. And that song was actually pitched to us before Drew Hill got it. But I would say, I'm not even going to say that had we sang that song, it would have been a hit, because Cisco and Drew Hill did an amazing job, and it's one of their biggest records. So, but that was one of the records that was submitted to us that we declined, and it became one of Drew Hill's biggest songs.
Yeah, that's crazy to turn that down. I mean, shocked to learn that Cisco didn't even want to sing that song. During the 112 days, what was your favorite song to perform live with the group?
That one is hard because, you know, every song is special. So I don't know if I have like a favorite song that I performed or a favorite song that I just love, but I always answer that question from a special standpoint. And I say that it was Only You, because that was the very first song that the world was introduced to these four young men from Atlanta that put us on the map. And so I was really, really excited about that one. So that one is always special to me.
Is there any song from you guys' catalog that you wish was a single that wasn't released as a single?
Absolutely. A lot of them. A lot of them, man. We can go down the line on every album. There were plenty of songs that I wish had been singles that weren't.
Yeah, you guys, I remember when the Room 112 album came out, I was in 98, I was in 11th grade. Yeah, Room 112, I mean, the debut was very, very strong. Like, Room 112, that I go back and forth between them, because Room 112 was like, you guys were just on top of your game,
wow.
Especially with Crazy Over You and Funny Feelings and
yes.
Someone to Hold.
Yes, yes,
you guys
all of
like,
those.
And you guys matured so naturally. Like, you know, it wasn't like you guys were trying to appeal to, I guess, young demographic. I mean, you guys were like 18, 19, but
yeah.
The way you guys were singing was like, you guys were singing like grown men. I mean, like, full on,
you know,
like, you know, the Whispers and the Temps and,
you know it, yeah.
You know, veterans. All right, so it's March 9th, 23 years since Biggie passed.
Mm-hmm.
What memories do you have working with Big on Sky's the Limit, Missing You, and, of course, the debut single, Only You?
Well, I mean, the debut single was, that was the perfect alley-oop. You know, here you have a group who no one knows, and the genius in Puffy was, I'm going to lean on our label mates and your label mates to introduce you. And at the time, Big was one of the biggest hip-hop artists at the time. And so for him to stamp our first single, it made people love us just because he was on the record. So that was really, really special to us. But, I mean, I have fond memories of B.I., Ultimate Big Brother for the record company, Ultimate Big Brother for 112. He always made sure we had, you know, money, made sure we had clothes. He would always lace us in the Brooklyn Mint, which was his apparel line. He would always come in the studio making sure we had money because at that time, you know, we were first-year artists, starving artists, as they coined it. So we didn't have a whole lot of money, but he would make sure we always had food, make sure we had something to eat, make sure we had some money in our pocket, make sure we had clothes. You know, the ultimate big brother.
Yeah, I've always heard that he was, like, really real laid-back, real mellow. Like the persona from the persona of him as an MC and his persona as a you know, a grown man was totally different, you know, just the way that he carried himself. He was just likable. Like, he wanted to be around that positive energy, you know, always cracking jokes, always smiling, just a lover of life in every sense of the word. Do you have any plans to drop something new this year, another solo project, or are you focusing on the Bridge project?
Well, everything right now is all about the Bridge project. The album releases on June 12th. Right now we are just promoting the first single, Made For, and we're just continuing to add layers to the movement. I failed to mention to you the fourth leg of the Bridge project movement, and it's a 40-day men's affirmation book. And so you have all of these legs of the Bridge Project, which is in conjunction to my male's organization, Brothers United of Atlanta. And we're gonna love on men everywhere we go. We're gonna create spaces for men to identify who they are, reconnect to their original greatness through music, through the documentary, through the book, and also through the feature film Made For.
You got to, man. That's something that I, you know, that I'm constantly talking about with, you know, just go off, you know, sidetrack with my brothers, you know, and friends and all that, who they're, you know, they're my brothers. But it's like society now has this thing about toxic masculinity and how we as men can't show, you know, affection to our fellow man. Like, it's not, it's frowned upon. And sometimes, you know, sometimes you just got to, you know, give a brother a hug, you know, give a brother a handshake or
absolutely.
Just, or pick up the phone
yeah, I love you.
And call.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. This is, you know, of course, a couple of fans wanted me to ask you this. Any plans for Reunite with 112 in the near future?
Say one more time.
Do you have any plans to reunite with 112 in the near future?
Well, right now, my main goal is, you know, the Q Parker legacy. And unfortunately, it doesn't allow me to commit to the high demands of an active member of 112. I will never say never. Time heals all wounds. Time allows people to reflect. And so, you know, I'm so thankful that the fans and everybody out there has maintained their support of 112, regardless of how it looks, whether it's all four original members, whether it's two members, whether it's one member, that name means a lot. And so at this moment, my main focus is Q Parker and my story and the things that I've been called to do in this season. The next season, I'm just going to go, you know. I prayed a few years ago to just be in total alignment of what I've been called to do. And right now, where I'm supposed to be is where I am, which is this men's movement, this global men's movement. And, you know, wherever I'm called to next, I will be there 100%. The best way I can answer that one.
Yeah, man, and I can totally respect that. I mean, you figure you guys have been touring together. I mean, you guys have been together close to, what, 30 years? I mean, just
almost 30 years, yes. Middle school.
Yeah, since, yeah. So, I mean,
earlier than that, middle school.
Yeah, I mean, I'll never knock. I mean, I guess for me, like, you know, even though I said earlier on is that, you know, you want to see, you know, the Army group make a comeback, but – you know, with 112, just like similar to New Edition, you guys all have your own identity. So you can naturally, you're all going to do your own thing. I mean, whether it's, you know, Mike and Slim doing their thing now, whether it's you focusing on your story and your, where you want to be spiritually and emotionally. And with Deron, you know, Deron can always produce and do whatever he wants to do. But it's like, I totally understand where you're coming from. I don't knock it off. I'm just happy you're out here doing what you want to do and you're still out here making quality music, because I was a huge fan of your first solo album, and I thought that was very, very underrated, and you didn't get the accolades you deserve for that album.
I appreciate that, man. I put a lot into that album, and I do agree with you, man. I think that album is a classic, and the beauty of it, man, is sometimes, you know, it's not meant for an album to get the world acclaim or accolades. Sometimes it is just meant to contribute to the generation and the genre of just great R&B music. You know, one of my favorite albums never got its just due, but it's one of my favorite, Babyface's Tender Lover album. But it's one of my favorite albums. I'll play that song, I'll play that album back and forth forever, for as long as I live. And regardless of it being super acknowledged, it's one of the all-time favorites of any R&B fan that has spanned generations. And so if I can only but contribute to the great artists that have made countless, you know, amazing albums, for me, that's what it's about. I didn't sign up for this to win awards, although I have two Grammys and all these songwriter and music awards and all of that. I never signed up for that. I signed up because I love the gift that I've been given. And I love the fact that I have an instrument that allows me to be free. It allows me to make a living. I never go to work disgruntled. I've gotten to travel the world. I've met some very prestigious individuals. And I can say that I've had the same job since I graduated from high school. And a lot of people can't say that.
Yeah, and again, I mean, and everything you're saying is kind of how I look at music, because, you know, I mean, if you're ever, like, in the public consensus, it's always, you know, people are always talking about, like, sales and awards and all that. I'm like, man, that stuff is cool and everything, but you figure some of you guys' work with 112 and your solo stuff, I mean, going back to Room 112, well, hell, excuse me, heck, going back to every single album that 112 did, you guys have songs better than some people's entire catalogs that release music today, and that's a fact.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking, and I'm not talking the singles. I'm talking the actual album, like the album tracks that you guys were, like, the way you guys were just killing the game in your prime, and even, you know, your solo album, it's stuff on your solo album that I'll put against, you know, I'll put songs on your solo album against somebody that's releasing music today, and it's like, yo, Q will kill you, like, yo, vocally and what he's talking about, and, you know, singing a bridge and, you know, knowing how to riff and having actual vocal sound, not using auto-tune, and actually making quality music, because in my opinion, a lot of these young cats wouldn't have made it 10 to 15 years ago. They wouldn't have got signed because they don't have that work ethic that you guys had back in your prime. Addison, one more question for you. I know you want to get back to your son's game. So is there anything else you want to add for your fans out there? Where can they find out about the Bridge Project? Twitter, Instagram, Facebook?
Yes. All social media is Official Bridge Project. The website is officialbridgeproject.com. I am QParker112. Anything that I do from a foundational standpoint is QParkerLegacyFoundation.org. And I'm encouraging everybody to register to go to rescueme.movie to win a chance to meet the entire cast and also an opportunity to be in one of the scenes. So please go and register at rescueme.movie.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for your time, brother. Keep doing what you're doing. I look forward to the moves you're making in 2020. Have a blessed evening, my man.
I appreciate you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.